الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، continue in the chapter. The author, he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب الخالق والاضطراب, the chapter of worry and anxiety and apprehension and being unstable, الاضطراب. And we have seen that the opposite of this affair is as-sakina wa-tumanina, and that is tranquility and peace and ease of mind. And this comes from certainty and submission and sincere faith and truthfulness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in creed and in deed and speech and action and conduct. So the author, he mentioned rahimahullahu ta'ala three verses, and it's a beautiful manner in his arrangement, and we discussed these affairs in our previous class. The first verse with regards to the affairs of al-Hudaybiyah and the hardship that the believers were facing at the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the fact that they were stopped and they were blocked and not allowed to make umrah, and then also they were facing a contract and a treatise with the mushrikeen that seemed to be against them and was not in their advantage, and the likes like this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent upon the believers his sakina, meaning he sent upon them sincere faith and truthfulness, and he guided their hearts to submit and to surrender until they found tranquility and peace in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The benefit from this is the obligation of having sincere faith and certainty with the decree of Allah, the decree, the universal decree, meaning the calamities and the hardships that befall a believer, he must surrender to these affairs, and he must know that they happen and they occur according to the wisdom of Allah and the permission of Allah and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a believer, he must submit to that. وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلْبَهُ. And whoever believes in Allah at this time, then Allah will guide his heart. That Allah will guide his heart. So this is the obligation to surrender and to submit to the decree of Allah, the universal decree. So the worries, maybe they will come, or shaitan, he will whisper, or he makes suggestions like this, but a believer, he will not entertain these ideas. Rather, they will come to him and he will repel them. He will repel them with tawheed. He will repel them by seeking refuge with Allah. And he will repel them by remembering the greatness of Allah. And he will also remember his own soul and where he came from. And he will remember what he has learned from the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will ponder over the signs and the creation and reflect over the verses of Allah in his book. And he will be guided. And that worry will go away. And he will submit and surrender. And in place of that apprehension and anxiety, tranquility will come. And peace will come, a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it doesn't mean that a believer, he will not be tried with these affairs. Rather, he will be tried with these affairs. But how does a believer deal with them? A believer, he deals with them by having certainty that it's by the command of his Lord and the permission of his Lord and the decree of his Lord. And there's no way out from that hardship and difficulty except to return to his Lord. And in this manner, he finds peace and tranquility, and guidance will come to him, and he will wait for the relief, and he will beg Allah Azza wa Jal for the relief and the way out from this hardship and this difficulty, and he will also at the same time hope for the reward of the patient, and the reward of the patient is given to them without reckoning. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. They will remember the likes of this. وَجَزَاهُمْ بِمَا صَبَرُوا جَنَّةً وَحَرِيرًا. And their reward for being patient, their recompense for being patient is paradise and silk, any silk brocade, meaning that they will have a delight and a joy that no eye has seen and no ear has heard and has not even crossed the mind of a human being. They will remember these affairs when there were the calamities and the hardships befall, and this will be a means for the worry and the grief to go away and the certainty to be established in their heart, and the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla will bring them peace and will bring them ease. So the point is, the first affair here is to have certainty and to submit and to surrender to the universal decree of Allah, specifically at the times of hardship and difficulty. After that, the author, he mentioned another verse, but this other verse is with regards to submitting and surrendering to the legislative decree of Allah, to the legislative decree of Allah. Whenever there's differences, whenever there is disputes, whenever there is falling out, yani whether it's with one's family in his own home first and foremost, or if it's outside the family with his brothers, or in the job with co-workers, whatever the case may be, a believer is required for him to return back to Allah, meaning to the Book of Allah, and to return back to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning to return back to the Sunnah, and to make the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a judge in that affair. And then whatever is according to the Quran and the Sunnah, and whatever is found to be according to the truth, whether it's for a person or against him, whenever the disputes occur, they will return their affair back to the Quran and to the Sunnah. They will look into the issue, and whoever is according to the truth, and whoever's position and in that dispute is according to that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has judged, whether it's for him or against him, he will submit and surrender. He will submit and surrender. And likewise, at this time, the one who is truthful in this affair, also all these worries and anxieties and all these hardships and difficulties and all these disputes and quarreling, it will go away as well. The one who surrenders to the legislative decree of Allah. And he makes the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam a ruler and a judge in all of his affairs. So this is the case here. And this is what the author he's referring to in the second verse we studied in our previous class. After that, the author he mentioned in a beautiful manner clarifying the outcome and the great result and the praiseworthy end for the one who has submitted to the universal decree and likewise to the legislative decree. And that is that he will have a good life in this life, and he will have contentment and satisfaction, and he will have security and peace, and he will have tranquility in his heart, and he will have support and aid and guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all affairs. And the greatest of all blessings and honors is that whenever his soul is taken in peace, and he's given salam, and he is greeted in a good manner, and his soul is taken with tranquility, and he is pleased with his Lord, and his Lord is pleased with him in this manner. And this is what the author he had mentioned in those verses that had preceded. فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ وَعَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And Allah, He sent His sakina, tranquility, upon the Messenger and the believers. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. الْآيَةِ. And I swear by your Lord, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they do not truly believe until they make you a judge and a ruler in everything that they dispute amongst themselves in, until the end of the verse. يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةُ irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah. Oh, you soul of tranquility and peace, return back to your Lord well pleasing and well pleased. Fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. Enter amongst my slaves, and in my slaves meaning my righteous slaves, and enter into my paradise. So this is the outcome of those who submit and surrender. This is the outcome of those who submit and surrender to the universal decree of Allah, and likewise to the legislative command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this manner, they are Muslims. This is al-Islam. This is the reality of al-Islam. Al-Islamu lillahi bit-tawheed. To submit and to surrender to Allah with a tawheed. Wal-inqiyadu lahu bit-ta'ah. And to comply to Him with obedience. To comply to Him with obedience. Wal-bara'atu min ash-shirki wa ahlihi. And to free oneself from shirk and his people and all of the avenues and ways of disbelief and disobedience. And all of the avenues and ways of disbelief and disobedience. In this manner, a believer, he will have a good life. He will have a good life in this life and in the hereafter as well. He will have a good life in this life and in the hereafter as well. Meaning all of his lives will be good. This life and this worldly life will be good. And his life in the barzakh, it will be good. And likewise, in the hereafter, he will have even better than all of that from the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what the author is establishing here. And this is what is incumbent. That the worry and the anxiety and these affairs, whenever they come to the heart, a believer, he will repel them. He will repel them with tawheed. Whenever hardship and difficulty comes, whenever he's tried with sins or the likes like this, whatever the case may be, whether it's related to any to the universal decree or the legislative command of Allah Azza wa Jal and His Sharia, that he will repel these affairs with knowledge and certainty and with compliance and submission and surrender to the command of Allah. This is how the doubts will go away. This is how the anxiety will go away. This is how the worry and the grief will go away, and in place will come peace and tranquility and ease and goodness. It will come to the heart. So after this, the author, he mentioned the narrations that we were discussing in our previous class about dealing with anger. And the point here is, again, that a person who has this surrender and submission. The one who is striving against his soul to be obedient, he is not conquered by his soul. Rather, he conquers his soul. He is somebody who has control of himself. His soul does not take control of him and cause him to act like a fool, or to act in a manner that in a brief moment he will regret that, or to say something that he did not mean, and to say something that likewise in a brief moment he will regret, and he would like to take that back, but it will be too late, and the likes like this. So he mentioned the narration, Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, clarifying that the one who is truly strong and the one who has true ability and strength is not the one who is able to wrestle the people and to fight them physically and to take them to the ground and to overpower them with physical strength, but rather the one who is truly strong is the one who is able to control his own self, to control his own tongue, to control his own hand, to control his own emotions, specifically at the time of anger. And this is one of the most difficult times for a person to control himself. But a believer who is striving upon that path, believing in Allah in the last day, and remembering the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the recompense, then this will be the greatest means for him to check himself and to not fall victim any to his desires and whims, and to speak without thinking and to act without thinking. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Laysa shadidu bisura'ah." It's the one who's shadid, strong, qawi, and the one who has authority and command and power. He's not the one who is able to wrestle the people to the ground. Walakin ash-shadid alladhi yamliku nafsahu 'inda al-ghadab. But the one who is really strong, the one who is truly strong, he is the one who has authority over his own soul. He controls his own self. He controls his own soul whenever he becomes angry. And likewise, in Sahih Muslim, from the Hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna al-mu'min al-qawi khayrun wa ahabu ilallah min al-mu'min al-da'if wa fi kullin khayr." That verily the strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer. And the one who has strong faith and strong iman, and he is the one who has control of his own tongue and control of his own soul. And it's by way of that iman that he controls himself, that he checks himself and he checks his soul with the reins of the legislation and with that which is revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the guidance, from the knowledge and from the guidance. So this is the way of a believer. He controls himself. He acts in a manner pleasing to Allah azza wa jalla in every circumstance. And if ever he slips, he's quick to return and to repent and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to seek forgiveness for his sins. Also the author, he mentioned a narration as well in Sahih Bukhari, that a man, he asked for guidance and advice from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he told him three times, "La taghdab," do not become angry, do not become angry. The man, he asked for more guidance, and every time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated the same advice, "La taghdab," do not become angry, do not become angry. And this is great advice, and for a believer, that he should not become angry, that he should control his emotions, and that if he's ever facing a situation or an individual that causes his emotions to rile up and the anger to boil in his heart, that he will take the proper means and steps to repel that and to remove that or to prohibit that from rising, and to definitely not act upon that, to not act upon that. So first and foremost, do not become angry. Do not become angry in the first place at all. If a person, he's able to do that, this is what is required. But sometimes a person, he might find himself in a situation where the anger rises up. And now what should he do? Now he would remember likewise this narration, do not act upon the anger. La taghdab. And if it comes, and if it just, it rises, and the situation comes, and the anger comes to his heart, comes to his soul, now he has to remember these affairs and remember the meeting of Allah and the command of Allah, that he's a slave of Allah and that there's a legislation and he will be held accountable in front of Allah and he's returning to Allah. And there are things that he can say and there are things that he cannot say. And there are things that he can do and there are things that he cannot do. And in this life, there's still a legislation. And the fact that he become angry does not change anything. And sometimes a person, if he becomes angry, it's like he forgot the whole world. And the whole world is about him. And he doesn't care what anybody says, rather everybody has to listen to him. And he doesn't care about anybody does, but rather everybody has to do what he says. And the anger completely will rise up and control the person until even he will lose his mind. And even until he will lose his mind. Even the people of knowledge, they have mentioned that al-ghalab awwaluhu al-junoon wa akhiruhu al-nadam. In the beginning, anger, it is madness and insanity, and in the end, the outcome of it is regret and remorse. Is regret and remorse. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned here, don't become angry. And likewise, he mentioned in other narrations, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how to deal with these affairs if the anger arises up. And the first issue is to remember Allah, and to know that the anger is coming from the plot of a shaitan, and that what he must seek refuge with Allah from a shaitan ar-rajim. He must seek refuge with Allah from a shaitan ar-rajim. And there was an event whenever there were two men, they were cursing each other. And one of them became very angry. Rather, he became furious until his face is red and his veins are poking out on the side of his neck, on the sides of his neck from fury and from anger. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنِّي لَأَعْلَمُ كَلِمَةً لَوْ قَالَهَا لَذَهَبَ عَنْهُ لَوْ قَالَهَا لَذَهَبَ عَنْهُ مَا يَجِدْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily I know a statement that if he were to say it, everything that he finds will go away. Meaning that which he finds in his soul from anger and from this anger and fury that he finds, it will go away. لَوْ قَالَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. If he would just say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ, I seek refuge with Allah from the cursed devil. From the cursed devil. So this is the first case. If a person becomes angry or the anger rises up, he'll say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. This is from the plot of shaitan and from the tricks of shaitan to try to get a believer to leave the straight path, to transgress the limits, to violate the limits and to violate the rights and that Allah has set against the people. And so either he would do it with his tongue or with his hand or with his body physically. So therefore he seeks refuge with Allah. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْكُتْ. If one of you becomes angry, then be quiet. Then be quiet. Yani, so first and foremost, one, he will seek refuge with Allah from the cursed devil. And then likewise, he will be silent. He will be quiet. Because many times, rather almost every time, the majority of the time, the one who speaks whenever he's angry, he says that which is not beneficial. And many times he will say that which is not permissible. And he will say that which he regrets greatly later. And many people, they have caused great corruption by speaking at the time of anger. And families have been destroyed, and friendships have been lost, and rights have been violated, and honors have been defamed, all because of anger and not having authority over one's tongue at that time, not having authority and control over one's tongue at that time, speaking in anger. So this is contrary to the advice and the guidance of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْكُتْ. If one of you becomes angry, then be quiet. Shaitan, he's going to come again now. Even if somebody has sought refuge with Allah, he's going to say, this person, he keeps saying this and saying that to you, and you're just going to be quiet? You're going to let him say that to you? And Shaitan is going to come with the wasawas and the whispers like this. And how can you let him say this about you? But a believer who remembers the guidance of the Prophet, and he's the messenger of Allah, and this is from those rulings that he will submit to and surrender to, and he will not find any hardship in his heart whatsoever. He will not find any hardship in his heart whatsoever. Rather, he will be quiet. He'll be quiet, أعوذ بالله, استغفر الله. He will remember Allah, make istighfar, or make adhkar, who will do something. Yani, in any case, he will not respond to that person. He will not respond to that person. Likewise, in another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدٌ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ فَلْيَجْلِسْ. If one of you becomes angry while he's standing, then let him sit down. Then let him sit down. فَإِنْ ذَهَبَ عَنْهُ وَإِلَّا فَلْيَطَّجِعْ. He said, if his anger goes away, and by sitting down, then alhamdulillah. If not, then he should lay down. If not, then he should lay down. Again, shaitan is going to come to him at this time and whisper to him, and this man is standing in your face talking like this, and then you just sit down and you back away from this. Are you a coward? You're going to let him talk to you like this, or do you like that? Or he's going to think this about you, or they're going to think that about you. But rather, a believer, he would not want to get involved in this affair. Rather, he would sit down. He would sit down. Because a person, if he's standing, especially if he's standing in the face of the one who's making him mad, especially if he's standing in the face of the one who is causing his emotions to move like this. And one thing that could really help a believer to realize these affairs, sometimes one will say, they're pushing his buttons. They're pushing his buttons. A believer, he should never let somebody push his buttons. And he will never, in any case, be that person's fault. Oh, he made me mad. Nah, you have control of yourself. If you are mukallaf, if you're of the age and you're of puberty, you're held accountable for your actions. You can't say, oh, so-and-so made me mad. So-and-so, he should have never made me mad. It's his fault. La, he will be held accountable. And then at the same time, a man, he will never want to be from those people who people can just push their buttons. If they want to make him happy, he'll push this button with him. And if they want to make him mad, he'll push this button with him, and he's able to move around, and his motions can be played with like this. Rather, a man, he will be firm. What will make him happy is what makes Allah happy. And what will make him sad is his own sins and disobedience and shortcomings with regards to his obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. So the dunya doesn't play him and the people do not move him. Rather, he's moving for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. That's his origin. So therefore, a believer, remember these affairs. He's not going to be those who's easy and the people can push his buttons and make him and he come out of character or start screaming or yelling at any moment. And if they know how to do that, he will not be like that. And this is something, and just to know that this is blameworthy in itself. It's blameworthy. It's a blameworthy trait to be like that. So a believer, he will be quiet. Because if he speaks whenever he's angry, many times it's not good. And he will sit down if he's standing. Because if he moves while he's angry, many times it's not good. If he's standing, maybe he's going to start moving his hand. Many people, when they're over there angry, they did not sit down and they moved their hand and now they're in prison for the rest of their life. Many people, they lost their lives because of anger or because they made somebody mad. Or they have caused great physical harm, or they have caused financial harm, meaning to property and to items and the likes like this. All of this is because of not having authority and command over one's own soul. What the other billah? This is contrary to the way of a believer. A believer, he have control over himself. A believer, he will have control over himself. So if he's faced with hot situations, and he will deal with them in the best manner. And this all comes from remembering Allah and remembering the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is a means for him to calm down and for him to return to that state of peace and ease and contentment and the likes, and to not be moved by these affairs. So this is contrary to the way of a believer, that he will become angry or he will scream and he will yell and he will lose his character and lose his conduct, and he will act in a manner that's not pleasing or in a manner that's not praiseworthy, or he'll act in a manner that is impermissible. So this is from that affair. Al-ittilab, he's not stable. Somebody who becomes angry and furious, he's not stable. And any minute he'll bust. And that's what they say about this. He'll blow up. And that's what they say about this. Meaning he's not stable. So that's the opposite of al-ittilab, but istiqrar. Al-istiqrar. And this is also from the meaning of al-tumanina. From the meanings of al-tumanina, sukun wa istiqrar. And from being peaceful and having tranquility is that he's ease, that he's at ease and that he's firm and that he's stable. He has stability. He has stability in his life, in his deen, in his heart, in his mind. He has stability. He's not wild. He's not reckless. And the likes like this, he's not at any moment ready to bust, not any moment ready to blow up, not at any moment let somebody have it, either physically or with his tongue. And the likes like this. And a believer, he's not like that. He's not like that. Rather, he thinks before he speaks. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ. Whoever truly believes in Allah and the last day, then let him say that which is good or be silent. Let him say that which is good or be silent. So the author after this, he says, وَنْ أَبِي ذَرْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا مَرْفُوعًا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ أَخْلَصَ اللَّهُ قَلْبَهُ لِلْإِيمَانِ وَجَعَلَ قَلْبَهُ سَلِيمًا وَلِسَانَهُ صَادِقًا وَنَفْسَهُ مُطْمَئِنَّةً وَخَالِقَتَهُ مُسْتَقِيمَةً وَجَعَلَ أُذُنَهُ مُسْتَمِعَةً وَعَيْنَهُ نَاظِرَةً فأما الأذن فقمع وما العين فمعبرة لما يوعي القلب وقد أفلح من جعل الله قلبه واعيا رواه أحمد. The author, he mentioned the narration of Abi Dharr رضي الله عنه, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, verily the one who is successful, قد أفلح من أخلص الله قلبه, the one who is successful is the one who Allah has made his heart sincere. أخلص الله قلبه للإيمان, has made his heart sincere and pure for al-Iman. And he made the al-Iman and he filling his heart entirely. And the author, he mentioned at the end, this is narrated in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. In the wording of al-Imam Ahmad, he says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ أَخْلَصَ قَلْبَهُ, يعني هو نفسه بالإيمان, the one who has purified his heart for al-Iman. Here, مَنْ أَخْلَصَ اللَّهُ قَلْبَهُ. No doubt it is Allah Azza wa Jalla, he is the one who purifies the heart. But likewise Allah, he has made means that a believer, he must take himself to purify his heart for Iman. That means he must learn. First he must learn what is Iman and what does the Iman require and necessitate. And so in any case, a believer, he must strive to purify his heart. And this comes from the favor and the blessing of Allah. So he seeks the help of Allah and then he will take the means. إِحْرِسَ عَلَى مَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا تَعْجَزَنْ. يعني that you have to be diligent for that which will benefit you and seek the help of Allah and do not be helpless. And so again, he's saying here, the one who is successful is the one who has purified his heart for faith, made his heart sincere and pure for al-Iman, and he has made his heart likewise safe and sound, and he's safe and sound from the diseases of the heart, and he has made his tongue truthful, and he's truthful from lying and from deception and from every foul characteristic and trait, from backbiting and carrying tales, and he has made his soul tranquil. This is the point of evidence. وَنَفْسَهُ مُطْمَئِنَّ, and has made his soul tranquil. وَخَلِيقَتَهُ مُسْتَقِيمَ, and likewise his manners are upright, and his manners and his conduct are upright, meaning according to the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَجَعَلَ أُذُنَهُ مُسْتَمِعًا, he has made his ear a listening ear, and a ear that will listen and reflect and benefit from the admonition and from the truth that comes. Some people, they have ears and they listen, but the truth, it does not come. They do not benefit from the truth that they hear, or from the admonition that they hear. The admonition will come and it will go in their ear, and as if it goes out the other ear. And we have seen a previous narration, وَيْلُ لِلْأَقْمَعِ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ, the أَقْمَعِ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ, may they be destroyed, the people who have like funnels in their ears. And he meaning that it goes in one ear and comes out the other. They do not benefit. The admonition doesn't go into their heart. And so the one who is successful here is the one who he listens. And from his traits here is that his heart is sincere and purified for faith. And likewise is safe from the diseases of the heart. And his tongue is truthful. His tongue is truthful. And his soul is tranquil. And his manners are upright and good and noble. And his ear listens attentively and ponders and reflects. وَعَيْنَهُ نَاظِرَةٌ, and his eye also, it looks, the looking of reflecting and pondering, and looking into the creation of Allah, and to the signs of Allah and his creation, and in one's own soul. This is the one who is successful. And he uses his ear to listen to the admonition and benefit from the beneficial speech and the beneficial knowledge. And he uses his eyes to reflect over this creation, and to realize the greatness of the Creator, and to ponder over the words of Allah Azza wa Jal. Like this, he says, فَأَمَّا الْأُذُنْ فَقِمْعُنْ, because the ear, it is قِمْع, it's from that same word that has preceded. قِمْع is a funnel. And but what is intended here, the ear is a funnel, meaning it funnels that which comes to it into the heart. And it's a funnel into the heart, meaning that which one hears, it goes into his heart. And that which one listens to affects his heart. When somebody listens to something, where does it go? It goes into his heart. If he listens to that which is good, inshallah, with a good intention, it will go into his heart, and he will benefit from that. But if he listens to that which is evil, if he listens to music and to corruption, and to innovators, for example, or the people of misguidance and the people who have doubts, and so on and so forth, and the people of corruption and evil and wickedness, then that will go into his ear. From there, where does it go? Into his heart. Into his heart. So the ear is a pathway to the heart. وَمَا الْعَيْنُ فَمُعَبِّرَةٌ لِمَا يُعِي الْقَلْبِ, he says, as for the eye, it says also مُعَبِّرَةٌ. But actually in the wording of Imam Ahmed, it said al-muqirra lima yu'i al-qalb. And what is intended is that the ayn also is a pathway, mu'abira or ma'bara. And ila lahu ma'bara here in this wording. But how it comes in the text of al-musnad al-Imam Ahmed, muqirra. فَمُقِرَّ وَأَمَّا الْعَيْنُ فَمُقِرَّ فَمُقِرَّ لِمَا يُعِي الْقَلْبِ. As for the eye, then it is, it affirms and establishes that which the heart understands. And it likewise is a pathway to the heart. So therefore the ear and the eyes, they are the pathways to the heart. So a person, he can hear something and it can affect his heart. And a person, he can see something and it can affect his heart. And a person, he can hear and see something at the same time, and this is from the greatest ways to affect the heart. So if he listens to good and he looks at that which is good and permissible, then it will affect his heart, bi'idhnillah, in a good way. But if he listens to that which is impermissible and he looks at that which is foul and indecent, then likewise it will affect his heart in a foul, in a bad way. And a foul in a bad way. So this is the case here. وَقَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ قَلْبَهُ وَعِيًّا, and the one who is successful is the one who Allah has made his heart, yani a heart that is comprehending, a heart that comprehends, a heart that reflects and remembers. And these are all beautiful traits, no doubt. And many of them have been established and authentically in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sound heart and the truthful tongue and the soul like this and the upright manners. All of these affairs are mentioned in the Sunnah But as for this narration, it has some weakness in it. But the meanings found in the narration, they're correct, and they are supported by many other evidences, general evidences. So this is the case here. And a believer, he will use his heart and his eyes and his ears to benefit. These are from the greatest blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. From the greatest blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمْ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبَصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has made for you. He is the one who has provided us with these affairs. السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبَصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. With hearing and with seeing and with minds to comprehend. قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. How little is it that you show thanks? How little is it that you show thanks? Meaning how little do the people use these blessings in the pleasure of Allah? How little is it do the people use the blessing of the eye and the blessing of the ear and the mind and the heart to reflect and to think, to show thanks to Allah and that which is permissible and allowed. So again, a believer, he will be cautious of these affairs and he will remember these affairs. And whenever he uses his eyes and that which is permissible, and likewise his heart and his ears and the way that is correct and good, then he will have true Islam. And he will have also submission and surrender, and he will have tranquility and peace. And he will have a good life. He will have a good life. We ask Allah to give us all and our families and our loved ones a good life, this life and the hereafter. After this, the author, he mentions Babul Jahala. The tartib is very beautiful for the one who ponders, and how all these affairs occur. Babul Jahala, the chapter of Al-Jahala. Al-Jahala, it means Al-Jahal. Al-Jahal, ignorance. The chapter of ignorance. So now we see the issue of ignorance. What is the opposite of ignorance? Al-ilm. Knowledge. Knowledge. The foundation of the deen is knowledge. The deen is knowledge. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sent with knowledge. What was revealed to him is knowledge. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was given knowledge. وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تُكُنْ تَعْلَمْ وَكَانَ فَضُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. And Allah, he mentioned the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He mentioned to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the great favor upon him. وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. And we taught you that which you did not know, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. And the grace of Allah upon you is great. And the grace of Allah upon you with this knowledge and with this revelation and with this legislation, with this beneficial knowledge and understanding. So this is contrary to ignorance. This is contrary to ignorance. The foundation of the deen is knowledge. And yaqeen, it comes by way of knowledge. And yaqeen becomes firmer and stronger by way of knowledge. And the iman in the heart of a believer in the tawheed, it is strengthened and it is fortified with knowledge. So every time a person he increases in knowledge, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, he should also increase in faith. This is the reality. If the knowledge is beneficial, he would increase him in faith. It would increase him in faith. Every time he increases in knowledge, whether it's with the Quran and the Sunnah, or also reflecting on the creation, this will increase him in faith. It will increase him in faith. The more proofs and evidences he sees indicating the correctness of Tawheed and the truthfulness of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the iman will get stronger. It will get firmer. It will be deeper. It will be rooted more and more and more until it becomes established. Until it becomes established in the heart. At this time, the fruits, they will be present at all times. They will be present at all times. So this is the contrary to that. Al-Jahada, Babul Jahada, the chapter of ignorance. So he says, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And the statement of Allah the Most High, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. And then he stops here with the verse, it continues. The author, he mentioned the statement of Allah the Most High, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ أَيْ خَلَقَنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has created people for the hellfire, many of them. Many of them from mankind and from the jinn. And they have been created for the fire. They have been created for the fire. And because of this, they do the deeds of the people of the fire until they die in that manner. وَلِيَعْذُ بِاللَّهِ. So a believer, he should be cautious and know that there are people that Allah, He has created for the jannah. And there are people that Allah, He has created them for the fire. But the people who have been created for the jannah, they do the actions of the people of jannah until they die in that manner. Until they die in that manner. And the people who have been created for the hellfire, they commit the actions of the people of the hellfire until they die in that manner. وَلِيَعْذُ بِاللَّهِ. And Allah, He knows who He created, and He knows who is for the fire, and He knows for who is the Jannah. As for you and I, we do not know. We do not know for our own souls, nor for the souls of our loved ones or each other. We don't know which one is created for the Jannah, and which one is created for the Nar, except for that which Allah has informed us, or the Prophet has informed us directly. And other than that, then we don't know. Then we don't know. So a believer, he doesn't know if he's created for the Jannah or if he's created for the fire. But he knows that there are actions that lead to Jannah and there are actions that lead to the fire. That there are actions that lead to the fire. So therefore he has to work. And like this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was asked. He was asked about the decree. Is that already been written? Or is it something that is occurring? He said, no, it's already been written. They said, then why do we have to work? Then why do we have to work? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, اِعْمَلُوا فَكُلُّ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. Then you have to do the deeds, because everyone, it will be made easy for him and facilitated for him to do the deeds that he was created for. So if a person, he was created for the hellfire, he will do the deeds of the hellfire until he dies in that manner. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. If a person is created for the Jannah, then he will do the deeds of the people of the Jannah until he dies in that manner. Until he dies in that manner. So the actions, are very important. A believer, he's concerned with his actions. وَلَقَدْ دَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ. Allah, He says, that verily we have created for the hellfire many of the jinn and the ints. Many. And the majority of the people, this is the case for them. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And then he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, describing those people that were created for the fire. What are their traits? This is very important. And what are the traits of those people who are created for the fire? And they're created to go to the fire. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts they don't understand with them. لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They don't have fiqh, in the deen. لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا التوحيد. وَلَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا الحق. وَلَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا السُنَن. They don't understand the tawheed. They have hearts, but they don't understand the tawheed with them. They don't understand the sunnah with them. They don't understand the purpose of life. They have hearts, but they don't understand the truth. Their hearts do not comprehend and reflect and understand the truth. And so they have no benefit for them. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. They have eyes, but they cannot see with them. They cannot see with them, meaning they cannot see the truth and the right guidance. They can see physically, but they cannot see spiritually. And they cannot see the reality. The truth will be in front of their eyes, and they cannot see it in order to accept it and follow it. وَلَهُمْ أَذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. And they have ears they don't hear with. Meaning they don't hear the truth. They don't hear the admonition. They don't reflect and ponder over what they hear. What they hear doesn't go in their heart and benefit them. They don't have fiqh. And subhanAllah. So these are three characteristics. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. لَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. أُولَئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. أُولَئِكَ هُمْ الْغَافِلُونَ. أُولَئِكَ هُمْ الْغَافِلُونَ. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. They have hearts they can't understand with them. They have eyes they cannot see with them. Meaning the truth. The right guidance. They have ears they cannot hear with them. They cannot hear the admonition. And these people, they're like animals. They're like animals. Because the animals, what do? They just go around. The animal is gonna fulfill its desires. It's gonna eat, it's gonna drink, it's gonna mate, and it's gonna die. It's gonna eat, it's gonna drink, it's gonna mate, it's gonna die. That's what an animal does. That's what these people are doing likewise. So they're like an'am, they're like animals. They live in this life like animals. All they do is fulfill their desires. All they do is eat and drink and mate and have pleasure, and then they die. So they're like animals. And then Allah says, بَلْهُمْ أَضَلُّ. Rather, they're even more astray. Because the animals, if some danger comes to them, they run away. The animals, if danger comes to an animal, you'll find it will run away. But these people, they're running towards the danger. That which is harmful, the animals, they run from that. And that which is harmful for these people, they run to that. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And even likewise, the animals, even though they can't understand you or hear you, if you call them, they'll come to you. Many times. The animals, many animals, they don't understand what you're saying, but if you call them, they come to you. These people, if you call them, they don't come to you. If you call them to the truth, they will not come to you. And so they're even more astray. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Allah, He mentioned about them, أُولَئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. These people, they're like animals, rather they are more misguided. They are more astray. These here, they are the people who are heedless. أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. الْغَفْلَة is heedlessness. It's heedlessness, meaning heedlessness about the reality. About La ilaha illallah. About Muhammad al-Rasulullah. about يوم القيامة لا ريب فيه, about the day of resurrection, there's no doubt about that. And they're heedless about these affairs, heedless about his own death, heedless that the angel of death is waiting for him, and before his time is coming to an end, and heedless that he's going to be placed in the ground and dirt will be thrown on top of him, his soul is going to leave this life, and he's going to go to the barzakh. And they're heedless of these affairs. And so the point from the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, is to clarify the dangers of ignorance. The dangers of ignorance. They have hearts they don't understand. So therefore the obligation is to use the heart to understand. They have eyes, they cannot see the truth with them. An obligation is to use the eyes to see the truth, to search for the truth, to look for the truth, to comprehend the truth, to understand the truth. Likewise the ears. Likewise the ears. They have ears, but they do not hear with them. Meaning they do not reflect with them. They do not benefit from them. They have all of these senses, great blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, but they do not benefit with them. So they're heedless with regards to these affairs. They're heedless with regards to these affairs. This is the worst of all traits. And this is from ignorance. This is from ignorance. Contrary to that, and these are the people that Allah created for the hell, that created the hellfire. They created them for the hellfire. This is their trait. Ignorance. Heedlessness. Not reflecting on the signs of Allah. Not pondering and benefiting from the admonition. And not comprehending the legislation and the halal and the haram, having no understanding of the proper creed and belief that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not knowing anything about how to perform the obligations properly, how to avoid the prohibitions in a manner that is pleasing to Allah, and how to be upon a straight path that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he was upon, and his companions radiyallahu anhum, they have ignorance of this affair. This is the trait of those who were created for the hellfire. This is the trait of those who were created for the hellfire. هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Are those who know equal to those who do not know? And are those who know that they're going to die and be held accountable, and that their soul is going to be taken by angels, and that there are angels who take the soul of the wicked with force and violence, and that there are angels who take the soul of the pious and the righteous with peace and ease and gentleness? And are they those who know that like those who don't know that? And are those who know that like those who don't know that? No, they're not the same. They're not the same, not in this life and not in the hereafter. لَا يَسْتَوِي أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. The people of the hellfire and the people of the paradise, they're not the same, not in this life and not in the hereafter. لَا يَسْتَوُونَ. They're not the same, not in this life and not in the hereafter. أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. Those who are successful, the true winners, they're the people of paradise. They're the people of paradise. They have traits, they have characteristics, they have creed, they have belief. Their hearts are described with traits and characteristics, and so is their body parts and their tongues. And they have actions and deeds that they do. They have actions and deeds that they do by the mercy of Allah and the grace of Allah that they enter paradise by way of. And likewise, the people of the hellfire, and they also have beliefs and they have creeds and they have actions and statements that they do that lead them to that path. That lead them to that path with Iyadu Billah. After this, the author, he clarifies the opposite of this issue of ignorance. And he says, وَعَنِ ابْنِ عَبَاسٍ وَمُعَاوِيَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَغَيْرِهِمَا. And other than them. أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. That whoever Allah wants good for, He will grant him fiqh in the deen. That whoever Allah wants good for, He will grant him fiqh in the deen. So those who Allah He created for the hellfire, they have hearts, but they don't have fiqh. They have hearts, they don't have fiqh. And they don't use their intellects and their minds to understand the deen. And they're not given success for that. So therefore the hellfire. They're the people of the hellfire. They're those who abide in the hellfire. As for those who abide in the paradise, and those whom Allah has preferred and loves and wants good for them, meaning to be safe from the hellfire, and to be safe from every harm and every difficulty and every danger, those who are successful in this life and the hereafter, they have knowledge in the deen. They have knowledge in the deen. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Whoever Allah wants good for, He gives him fiqh in the deen. He gives an understanding of a tawheed. He knows al-rububiyyah in detail. He knows al-rububiyyah in detail. He knows the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla in detail. He knows how to believe in Allah. Al-Imanu Billah, he can talk about that. He knows about that. He loves that. Al-Imanu Billah. Many Muslims today, if you ask them, talk about Al-Imanu Billah, many of them, they'll fall in disbelief. If not falling in innovation or something that is very foul and wicked. And they'll say that about their Lord. You say, tell us about Al-Imanu Billah. Some of them will say, oh Allah, He's everywhere, in every place. You say, Subhanallah, even in your pocket. What do you have the Billah? And there's worse places than that. Your Lord is there, you worship Him? Astaghfirullah. Many of them, they do not know about the Al-Imanu Billah. This is from the great sign of failure and the fact that Allah, He does not want good for those people.
If Allah wants good for somebody, He will give him understanding in the religion, understanding of Tawheed, the understanding of Aqeedah, the understanding of the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ta'buduhu wa la tushriku bihi shay'a, and to worship Him alone and not associate any partners with Him whatsoever, in any manner, not whatsoever. This requires knowledge. Likewise, to stay away from shirk, this requires knowledge, requires details, and in order to be upon a straight path. Many of the people, they'll fall into these affairs and they do not know. A man, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Masha Allah wa shi'ta. Whatever Allah wills and what you wills. Whatever Allah wills and what you will. O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet became angry. Aja'atani lillahi nidda. Have you made me a rival and a peer along with Allah? Bal masha Allahu wahda. Rather, whatever Allah wills. And so there's no relationship and association in the will. The will is the will of Allah and nobody else's will. And whatever Allah wills, this is what occurs. Whatever Allah wills, this is what occurs. So we wouldn't couple that with the will of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or anybody else. This is from shirk. Many people, they fall in worse than that in these days. Instead of calling on their Lord and asking for relief and asking for help, they call on a grave as somebody who's dead and can't even hear them. Waliyadu billah. All because of ignorance and showing no care or concern for having understanding in the deen. If you ask him about industry, if you ask him about technology, if you ask him about American politics, he can go to the inn with you and he'll talk with you all day long. But if you ask him about Tawheed, he cannot tell you anything. If you ask him about Shurut al-Salat, he cannot tell you anything. If you ask him about Shurut al-Wudu, Nawaqid al-Wudu, and he doesn't know anything. And then he's happy in his life. Wal-Iyadu Billah, this is failure. This is a sign that Allah doesn't want good for that person. Wal-Iyadu Billah. So the sign that Allah wants good for somebody that he has knowledge and understanding. The people of knowledge, they mentioned with regards to this here, having fiqh in the deen, it's not meaning knowledge, and meaning a whole bunch of memorization, and it's meaning knowledge that's coupled with action. Meaning that he knows the obligations, what's incumbent upon him in one day and one night, what is allowed for him and his job and his money, and whenever he leaves his house, he knows how to leave his house and stay out of trouble, and to avoid falling into sin. He knows how to do that. He knows how to fulfill what's upon him and to stay away from what's impermissible. This is first and foremost in his daily affair. When he wakes up upon the sunnah. When he goes to bed, he goes to bed upon the sunnah. He goes to bed upon the sunnah, upon tawheed and upon the sunnah. Asbahna ala fitrat al-Islam wa kalimat al-ikhlas wa ala deen nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala millati abina Ibrahim musliman hanifa musliman wa kana min al-mushrikeen. He wakes up like that. That's what he wakes up upon. That requires knowledge. The one who wakes up like that, haniyallah. Subhanallah, how great of a blessing that he has. And then he comes to the evening in the same way. I'm saying, ala fitrat al-Islam wa kalimat al-ikhlas wa ala deen nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi haniyallah. This is a great, great blessing. A great, great favor and blessing to live upon that and die upon that. That requires knowledge. The person who is truly on this path, he will have a concern for learning. This is a sign Allah wants good for him. As for the one who Allah did not want good for him, he will not have concern for learning. After this, the author, he clarifies the danger of that affair and the outcome of this person. وفي حديث البراء بن عازب إن حديث البراء بن عازب رضي الله عنه أن المرتاب هو الذي يقول إذا سأل الملكان ها لا أدري سمعت الناس يقولون شيئا فقلته. Then he closes this chapter mentioning the foul outcome of ignorance in the affairs of deen and tawheed. The hadith of al-Bara ibn Azib with regards to the question of the two angels, the one who is doubtful, the one who has doubts, and he doesn't have certainty. So therefore he has a deficiency in knowledge. He has a deficiency in knowledge. He's ignorant, so therefore he's doubtful. He's ignorant, so therefore he's affected by the doubts and the shubuhats. And the likes like this, whenever the angels ask him, who is your Lord? Man Rabbuk, Ma Dinuk, O Man Nabiyuk. Whenever he's asked these things, what will he say? La adri, I don't know. سمعت الناس يقولون شيئا فقلته. I heard the people saying something, so I said the same thing they said. Meaning he was a person who was not upon sincerity. And he was a person who was not upon certainty. He had doubts about these affairs. Even if he was saying it in the dunya, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. In his heart, he was not certain. And this is the outcome of that. And certainty is corrupted by a weakness in knowledge. And from ignorance. So again, it goes back to the importance of knowledge. It's a dangerous affair. This is the outcome of the ignorant people and those who doubt that they will say when they're asked about who their Lord is and who their Prophet is and what is their deen, they will say, La adri. Nasallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.